This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dear brothers and sisters, there's a very interesting incident narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari of the companion Umar radiallahu anhu, who tells us of one particular day that he went to go visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, I entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, I looked around his living quarters. And he says, I didn't see much there. He says, I looked around the room and there were a few water skins hanging from the wall. I looked at the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was just a mat made of palm tree leaves. He says, I looked at the pillow of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, it was just a modest pillow, a leather pillow that was filled with date palm fibers. He said, I looked at this scene, and the Prophet came towards me. And as he came towards me, I saw his back had indents on it. He had marks on his back from laying on his bed. And he said, I saw this, and I began to cry. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Umar, ma yukik? He said, O Umar, what is making you cry? Why are you weeping? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, Inna Qaysa wa Kisra, they have what they have. He said, certainly Caesar and Khusro, these leaders and these rulers, they have what they have of this dunya. Meaning they're living their life in these luxuries. Wa anta Rasulullah, and you are the messenger of Allah. Meaning what? Meaning if there's anyone who deserves to live not just in luxury, but just comfort. If there's anyone who deserves the comforts of this dunya, it is not the kings, the Persian king and the Roman king, the Roman emperor, not those. It is you, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Ya Umar, he says, O Umar, Ama tarda, are you not satisfied? Anna lahum ad-dunya wa lana al-akhirah. He says, O Umar, aren't you not satisfied? Aren't you not content? Are you not at peace that the dunya is for them and the akhirah is for us? My brothers and sisters, many of us now, with what's happening in the world, with how things, not that things are changing, but we are now witnessing what is actually happening. Atrocities have continued to be committed throughout history. And we have seen our ummah go through a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, but now we are seeing it firsthand. We are seeing images directly from Gaza. We're seeing images from Palestine, and many of us now are waking up. We are being awoken from our state of ghafla. Ghafla, my brothers and sisters, is a state that sometimes we as believers, we find ourselves in when we know the realities of this life. We know this life is temporary. We know this life is full of pain and hardship. We know that we cannot be completely satisfied in this life, yet we get deceived into thinking that all of our desires will be fulfilled in this life, and we keep working for this life, and we forget about the akhirah. This is what ghafla is, and we find ourselves in ghafla. But now as we see these images, perhaps we are waking up to the realities of this life. Our brothers and sisters in Gaza and Palestine and other parts of the world, they are waking us up. You know, sometimes we may look at our brothers and sisters and we feel bad for them. We feel some type of pity. My brothers and sisters, they do not need our pity. What they need is that our ummah wakes up today as they have been awake, as they know the reality of this life. As they know that this life is temporary, as they know that perhaps others can be distracted into thinking that their life will last forever. But they know the true nature of this life. My brothers and sisters, somebody told me that the people of Gaza, when they hear an explosion, you know, if we, la qadar Allah, may Allah protect us, if we were to hear an explosion or a loud noise, we would get scared. What's happening? The people of Gaza, when they hear an explosion, they are happy. Do you know why? Because to them, that means they're still alive. If they didn't hear the explosion, that could have been it. That's it. But if they heard the explosion, they know they're still alive. Now you tell me, my brothers and sisters, what is the level of iman that a person is at in that environment? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion when distributing the spoils of war, the war booty, he said, "Abghuni du'afa'akum." He said to the companions, "Bring me the weak and vulnerable amongst you." And some of the companions, they said, "Well, why? Why do they get a share of the spoils of war when they weren't on the battlefield?" They were talking about the elderly, the sick, and so on and so forth, even women who are not able to take part in the battle. The Prophet said, "Bring them to me." And some companions said, "Why? What? Like they weren't on the battlefield." And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Hal tunsaruna wa turzaquna illa bidu'afaikum?" He said, "Do you think that Allah provided for you? Do you think Allah gave you victory? Allah helped you, except because of the weak and vulnerable amongst you?" And another narration, Prophet ﷺ explains this. He said, "Innama turzaquna wa tunsaruna bidu'afaikum." That Allah only provides for you and gives you victory because of the weak and vulnerable amongst you. بِدُعَائِهِمْ وَإِخْلَاصِهِمْ وَصَلَاتِهِمْ. It is because of their dua, their prayer, their sincerity that Allah sustains you. Because what does that mean? That means when those who truly feel that they are in need of Allah, they truly feel that they are 100% reliant upon Allah, their level of iman is incredibly high. Their ikhlas, their sincerity is incredibly high. And we know this. In our lives, when we have truly felt desperate, when we feel that no human being can help me, how is our iman? Very high. Because we think no one can help me now except Allah. And that level of iman is the iman that perhaps sustains our ummah. This is why a statement you hear on the lips and tongues of the people of Gaza and Palestine is Hasbunallah. Allah is sufficient for us. Because they know perhaps the world has abandoned them. Perhaps those who have power in this world, they have abandoned them. So they say, Hasbunallah. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah will take care of us. My brothers and sisters, this is a wake-up call for us. If it is not now, then we are going to return to Allah. If we are seeing the ayat of Allah, the sign, I have no doubt that these are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything happens by the will, permission, and the decree, and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to ask ourselves, how are we being tested in this moment? The tests of our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering, their test is clear. And they are passing, may Allah accept from them, they're passing with flying colors. But us, on the other hand, sitting, living in our comfortable lives, and I know that's relative. We all face our own challenges, right? And we're not comparing our suffering with other people. That's not what it's about. But it's about looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. You know, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they understood that Allah will test them. Allah will test us. This is part of life. This is part of death. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. The one who created death and life to test you. Test you, who amongst you are best in deeds. This is part of our life. The companions knew that they would be tested. And they would fear the test of ease more than the test of hardship. Because we're either tested with difficulties or we're tested with ease and comfort. The companions, they would say, well, when difficulty comes upon us, the tests are now visible. They're apparent. We know we're being tested. That we have to remain patient. We have to persevere. But what happens, my brothers and sisters, when our life is going well? When everything is normal? Do we forget that we are being tested right now? Do we find ourselves in a state of heedlessness, in a state of ghafla? Are we distracted by the callings of this dunya? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the hellfire is surrounded with ease. And paradise is surrounded with difficulty. Are we distracted? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. That the competition for this worldly life and takathur really is just to collect. Like, what are we doing with our lives? Black Friday is here, another holiday comes, Amazon Day and this and that, whatever. Are we just living day to day to day to day, just getting more stuff? Is that the purpose of our life? This temporary moments of pleasure? Because that's honestly what a consumerism, materialism is. And that's why it's addictive. Because we buy something, we feel great for a moment, and that feeling fades, and then it's like, I need that high again, so we want to buy something else, and we find ourselves living a life where we're living to buy. We're living to consume. And as believers, indeed, we have lost the message here. Because as believers, it is part of our aqidah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for a higher purpose. Islam, my brothers and sisters, is istislam. Islam is submission and surrender. Surrender to what? When we are Muslim, we are surrendering to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we like it or not. We're submitting to what Allah has made permissible and impermissible for us, whether we like it or not. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even told the companions, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ, that Allah has prescribed fighting upon you to fight. But it is hated to you. And it's very interesting, the scholars of tafsir, when they make tafsir of this verse, they say, what is hated is not the command of Allah. What is hated is the fighting, and there's a difference there. Because the companions, yeah, no one likes to put their life on the line. Yeah, it's normal human behavior. That difficulty is difficulty. So yes, that is something that to the nafs it is disliked, but not the command of Allah. So we don't, yes, we can say, you know, these commands of Allah, I find them to be difficult. That's okay to say that. But to say that I dislike the command of Allah, that is problematic. Even though something is difficult, we submit, we surrender ourselves. And we surrender ourselves, my brothers and sisters, to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cannot see a better example of this today than once again our brothers and sisters in Gaza. I cannot imagine, my brothers and sisters, what it feels like to lose a child in our arms. May Allah protect us and protect our children. I cannot imagine what it feels like to lose our loved ones, to lose our family, to lose our support. I cannot imagine what that feels like, my brothers and sisters. But if you look at the iman and the faith, the not faith as in, you know, the English word faith, where you just believe in your heart and that's it. But faith in action. What is faith in action? When we have an aqidah, we have a creed, we have a belief, and we live by it, it dictates our actions. That when Allah tests us, that aqidah comes into play. And so my question for you, my brothers and sisters, is when we are tested by Allah, because the question is not if, the question is when, because we will all be tested. How will we respond to that test? Will we be able to persevere? Will we be able to hold on? Will we be able to understand our aqidah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقَصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَةِ. We will definitely, we will test you, we will try you with fear, with hunger, with loss of life and property and wealth and so on and so forth. And then Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But in these tests and these trials that we will all go through, give glad tidings to those who persevere. And I know the word sometimes that we hear for sabr is patience. But sabr is not just patience. Sabr is perseverance. Can I outlast what is happening? Can I live through, persevere through it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With the difficulty, there is ease. A believer understands that either ease in this life or the afterlife. That ease is connected to the hardship, so we have to persevere, live beyond, live past, live through the difficulties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through. And we hear this once again, our brothers and sisters in Gaza, we hear these statements from their tongues. They are saying, this is the qadr of Allah. It is either shahada or it is success, victory. That's it. Only two options. Imagine living your life with that type of freedom. إِمَّا شَهَادَ. It is either shahada, it is either martyrdom for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or victory. Those are a blessed people, my brothers and sisters. The people of Gaza and Palestine, they are the blessed and chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are living the truthfulness of this message of Islam. They are truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the lesson for us is what? Are we living our lives in truth to this message? Have we surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we found that peace and that contentment that comes through completely surrendering ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's a companion by the name of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He was once walking and he had in his hand a piece of meat that he had bought. And he came across Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, "What is this? Ma hadha?" He says, "Well, what is this in your hand? What do you carry?" He says, "Hada lahmun ishtahaytu fashtaraytu." He said, "This is a piece of meat. I wanted it. I liked it. So I bought it. I desired it, I wanted to have it, so I bought it." And Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, "Do you not fear that if you live your life in this way," and want to pause right here, is what Jabir bin Abdullah doing bad? No. Is what he doing haram? Is it impermissible, prohibited? No. This meat is halal for him to buy, he bought it, he liked it. Is it haram to buy something? No. But what does Umar radiallahu anhu rebuke him for? He says, "Do you not fear, أَمَا تَخْشَى, do you not fear that if you live your life in this way, you will be included in the ayah, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا, that you have exhausted all of your pleasures in this life." What does this mean? This means that there are people who live their life with the mindset that we're going to fulfill all of our desires in this life, and they have left nothing for the akhirah. There's no desire for the afterlife. There's no desire for Jannah. There's no desire for paradise. Because we think we're going to fulfill all of our desires in this life. How many of us live our lives in that way? We think about, you know, "I just need to get this in life and then I'm going to be happy. You know, I just got to finish college and then I'll be happy. I just got to get a nice job and then I'll be happy. You know, I got to just make this amount of money and I'll be happy. Then my life will be great. I just got to marry this person and then I'll be fine. I just got to have this kids. I got to have this car. I got to have this house. Da, 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 all that stuff. Once I have that, then I'm going to be happy." But the nature of this dunya is that we will never be happy with that. The Prophet ﷺ taught us this. The child of Adam, كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه, the child of Adam, you give them a valley full of gold and they will desire a second valley. In another narration, you give them two valleys full of gold and they will desire a third valley full of gold. And the Prophet ﷺ said, nothing will fill the stomach, the inside of this person except dirt. One of the meanings of the hadith is when they pass. When they're buried in the ground, that's when their desires of this dunya will come to an end. My brothers and sisters, I'm not here to teach you something new today. Because this is our aqidah. This is our faith. We understand this. I'm here today perhaps to remind ourselves that this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think that what is happening in the world is happening for no reason. Everything happens by the will, the decree, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our question is, do we wake up? Do we understand the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. You know, I mentioned an ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah in the first khutbah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "We will test you with something from fear and hunger and loss of life and sustenance and so on and so forth." And Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings to those who are patient, as we said, those who persevere. But what is the tools of perseverance? What allows these people to persevere? What allows these people to be patient? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً, those that when they're afflicted with a calamity, what do they say? قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, they say, "We belong to Allah and we will return to Allah." This is the statement of the one who perseveres. This is the statement of the chosen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they live their life in a way understanding that whatever I have in this life was given to me by Allah jalla wa ala. And it is Allah's to take away from me. And that life, my brothers and sisters, becomes a very different life. We're living for a different purpose at that point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Minkum man yuridu dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah." Amongst you are those who desire the dunya, and amongst you are those who desire the akhirah, those who desire the afterlife. And this doesn't mean, my brothers and sisters, that we give up on this life. It means that we focus our intention. It means we focus our intent of doing what we do in this life. There may be people who are doing the same things that we are doing, but their mindset is different. They're providing for their family, but they're providing for their family for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping to gain reward. They're helping others not to gain recognition, not to be known, not to be praised. They're helping others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the same things that others are doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you could please move forward, make some room in the back, inshallah ta'ala. Please move forward, inshallah, make some room in the back. Those who are living their life focused, and so they make sure that even the supposedly mundane things of this life, because let's just be real. We look at what's happening in Gaza, we look at what's happening in Palestine, and we can look at what's happening in Sudan, we look at what's happening with our brothers and sisters, our Uyghur brothers and sisters, and we can think, what's the point of doing what I'm doing? Like, I got a job and this and that, like, what's the point of that? But our faith doesn't teach us that we abandon this dunya. Our faith teaches us that we live our life for a higher purpose. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that if one of you, if you have in your hand, the meaning of this hadith is, if you have in your hand the ability to plant a tree, and the hour is approaching, and one understanding, the Prophet ﷺ said, in qamat as-sa'a, meaning that the day of judgment is starting, but we have the ability to plant this tree, the Prophet ﷺ said, they should plant it. فَلْيَغْرِسَ They should plant it. Why? We would think, why would you do that? Right? Because once again, let's be real. We look at world events. We look at the nature of life. Life is fleeting. We don't know today or tomorrow. That's the reality of life. We think our life is different than our brothers and sisters in Gaza. But the reality is, none of us have tomorrow guaranteed. The reality is, none of us have the next moment guaranteed. We feel secure. And may Allah protect us and protect our families. Allahumma ameen. But we don't know when we're going to die, where we're going to die, how we're going to die. We delude ourselves into thinking, I'm living in security, everything is fine. How many people were here last year and not here today? How many people were here yesterday in this dunya but are not here today, who are living nice, comfortable lives? There's no difference between us and the people of Gaza in terms of the guarantee of tomorrow. So what is happening here with our life, what is happening is that we are being deluded into thinking that this life is the end all and be all of everything. And so we get distracted in this life. What is the difference, my brothers and sisters, if our aqidah were to change? Well, the difference is that we live every moment hoping to gain the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the reason why the Prophet ﷺ told us to plant that tree, even if the day of judgment is about to start, because we would plant a tree normally, if we're working just for this dunya, we'd plant a tree, so that tree would grow, we'd have shade, perhaps some fruit. But if the day of judgment is starting, seems like there's no point to plant that tree. But we plant that tree because we know we are doing it for the sake of Allah. And even if the tree does not grow, even if there's no fruit that come from that tree, even if nothing happens, then our reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is secure. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, we live our lives in this way. I know none of us are perfect. I know we all have flaws. We all commit sins. None of us can say we're a perfect Muslim. We're all a work, you know, so to say, a work in progress. But there are those of us who today will decide that I want to make the intention to be the best Muslim I can be. To submit, to surrender in the best way I can. And if I fall short, I fall short, but I'm going to try my best. The Prophet ﷺ told us that a person may get the reward of praying the night, even if they slept through the night. How? Through their intention. The person made the sincere intention to pray the night. And then during the night, the sleep overtook them. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that the person wakes up in the morning, وَكُتِبَ لَهُ قِيَامُ لَيْلَةٍ It is written for this person that they prayed the night because they made the intention to do it. And so my brothers and sisters, today I invite myself and I invite you to make the intention to live your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is the only moment that we have, which is the reality of this life that is being uncovered for us on a daily basis, if this is the only moment that we have, if today is our only day that we have, how are we going to live it to maximize our reward in the akhirah? How do we live up, my brothers and sisters, to the trials of our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering? How do we match up? We have to make an effort. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Have the taqwa of Allah. Be conscious of Allah. Live your life being aware of Allah to the best of your ability. Sometimes people think this ayah is an ayah of negligence. Oh, do the best you can, meaning I don't have to try. No. This ayah is an ayah of excellence. Because we want to try the best we can in the moments that Allah has given to, and the shortcomings, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it up. So today, my brothers and sisters, for this Jumu'ah khutbah, make the intention to change something in your life. Perhaps you're not praying 5 times a day, start praying 5 times a day. Perhaps you're praying 5 times a day, but maybe we're a little bit lazy with the prayer, we delay the prayer, pray on time. Perhaps we haven't been giving much charity, give more charity. Perhaps we're not learning our deen, learn your deen. Perhaps our iman is weak, make an intention to strengthen your iman for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect and preserve our brothers and sisters in Gaza and all around the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their dead amongst the martyrs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon their dead. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla wa ala to cure their sick and their injured and their those who are ailing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them peace and serenity and security. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy those who are trying to destroy the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid those who are defending the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَذَا وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروه يذكركم واشكروه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله.